Hello, hello, hello. There we are. Morning. Oh, you know, before I came on the eldership team in January, any time I used to come and preach, I was always absolutely, completely fine about it. I had no nerves at all. And every time I've gotten here this year, I've been absolutely petrified. It still blows my mind. Like, when I used to fight, I'd be, like, in front of hundreds of people wearing nothing but a pair of Lycra shorts, no nerves whatsoever. Then I stand up here in front of people I see every week, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm so nervous. So you'll have to bear with me. So we're going through our series, and me and Seeker through this morning, I'm going to preach on Jehovah Shalom, the God of Peace. So it's actually quite funny how little peace I've got this morning, being petrified about it all. So Psalm 9:10, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Yeah, so when I was... when I was looking through the details on what I was going to preach on about peace, I was thinking a couple of weeks ago when I preached, I used all my good lack of peace stories with the whole Ebola debacle and all that other stuff. I was like, I've got no more funny stories I can use, or no more stories I can use, but having my lack of peace. And then we went to travel to Estonia. My goodness. So, on the day we were getting ready to travel to Estonia, we were saying goodbye to the family on the front and stuff, and got all the things in the car, and it was all a nice sunny day outside the house, got loads of photos taken, jumped in the car and punched in the postcode for this Airbnb that my friend at work got us. Said 2 hours and 45 minutes, sorry. So, oh, perfect. So we start driving down the A19, get down there, and there's a bit of a diversion. So it starts taking us through a little bit more of a back road, and then all of a sudden the heavens just open, like absolutely torrential rainfall. So, all right, it's fair enough. So we keep going down the roads, and the rain's coming down, and it was horrific trying to get through, but we finally got to where we were 70 miles away from this Airbnb, and there was a road blocked off, just flooding over this bridge. So we turned around, went to go to another one, two cars stuck in another bridge. Fair enough, turned round, started driving in the other direction, and we ended up being from 70 miles away from the Airbnb to 125 miles away from the Airbnb in the wrong direction. Absolute lashing down rain, kids are starving, I'm stressed out. All right, so by the time we'd got the kids stopped off for a couple of changes and had some McDonald's and done this, that and the other, and got stuck in all the other traffic and rerouted, we finally get to pick up these keys for the Airbnb at like 10 to 8, so be in the car for about 8 hours. Get the keys to this Airbnb that my friend sorted out for us. Go up in the lift, and as we get to the window, there's this guy in the kitchen cooking in the place that we're supposed to be staying in. So I'm looking in the window, I'm like, what on earth is this guy doing in our Airbnb? So he looks at the window, he's like, what? What? Is this Jason's place? He was like, no. I was like, well, Jason said we're supposed to be staying here for the Airbnb. He went, oh, it's an Airbnb, but it's not Jason's, it's his brother. So, oh, yeah, that's the one. So he opens the door. Straight away, I looked inside, and it looked rougher than the bottom of Tarzan's feet. It was absolutely terrible. So he's at the door, and he's effing and blinding in front of the kids and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is a nightmare. He's like, I have no idea who he's at. I had no ideas were coming. I said, right. He said, we'll give him a ring. So we phoned the bloke, and he said, oh, there's only one other room here, and the door's locked. So he's told Seeker and the kids to go through. So Seeker and the kids went through to the front room, and he's talking on the phone to this bloke, and he's firing off. And you know when your little spider sense is going off, there's something wrong. I looked at him and I was like, he looks higher than a giraffe's neck. So I said, right, went in the front room, and honestly, it looked like something off Trainspotting, and I'm not exaggerating. So I walked in, I looked, and I laid out on a tray next to where the kids were playing was loads of drugs. And I was like, oh no, where on earth I brought my family here? Like, just lost all my peace, started getting stressed out, and I got dead angry. I was like, what on earth has this bloke done inviting my wife and babies in the house next to all these flipping drugs? So I could feel myself getting more and more riled up. And I was like, I need to get out of here. I've completely lost my peace. If I stay, I'm going to end up losing my temper. So and the guy didn't know he'd done anything wrong. You know, just invited my wife and kids in next to all these drugs and this dingy place. He's like, oh, do you want to stay in my room? And I'll stand there and said, no, you're right, mate. Just give me my phone. So I took my phone back when he finished talking to the guy, and went and got a hotel room. It was probably the last Estonia. Every one of our bags gets knocked through the go and double check, make sure there's nothing in it. So we're like nightmare. So we're on the one side, and Seeker was mum, dad, and sister on the other side. We completely lose them, and we're going through, and every bag's getting checked, and they're pulling all the stuff out of the bags, and we're just so stressed. So we finally get through, repack the bags, pick the kids up, start going through, look on the things. Flight to Tallinn, gate closed. We're like, oh no, this is just a nightmare. Like, just the most stressful 24 hours. So we got the gate anyway. So we bumped the gate. And listen, where the beading halls with these are stuff, blah, blah, blah. Right, you're the last ones we're going to let on, get on. So, right, have the Luidas boarded. We need to know. We're staying with them. It's my wife's family. Are they on? We can't tell you. I was like, well, we need to know whether we're getting on the plane. If you don't get on the plane now, you're not getting on. So I said to Sika, I was like, what do? Do we get on the plane or do we not? And she was like, let's just get on the plane, because even if they're not on it, they have to get home anyway. So we got on the plane, done the walk of shame, past 27 rows of people who've been waiting for us. Got to the back, sat down, and I'm just like, you know, the day before when we'd got out of the crack then, wherever it was, like Sika was in floods of tears, and I'm stressed out to bits. But you know what? Through the full 24 hours, the kids were absolutely fine. They knew nothing at all. This, because they were with us, they had complete peace. They had 100% complete peace just because they were with us. You know, they knew they were with the parents. They had nothing to fear. They had nothing to worry about. And they just had 100% peace for the lot. They were laughing and joking. And, you know, even when Siku was crying in the front of the car, Olivia's laughing in the back with Joseph. And, you know, this is the peace that we're called to have. This is that Jehovah Shalom that God's, you know, talking about. It talks about it in Matthew 18, verse 2 to 3. You know, about having peace like a child. You know, that's how we inherit the kingdom of God. You need to have that peace. You know, because God's our father, you know, much more than I'm the kid's father. You know, and if they can trust us, their parents, to never let anything happen to them and to take care of them, and if they can have peace, even in these mad situations, you know, in the car for 8 hours and going in crack dens and missing flights and parents upset and all this, then, you know, wherever we're going through as well, we can have that same peace, because that's what, you know, that's what's being promised to us in this verse. And, you know, there's stuff all the way through the Bible that you can look at of people that have, you know, had peace and then lost it. You know, if you look at King David, probably one of the most powerful and mighty men in the Bible, but he lost his peace. You know, he lost his peace, and, you know, he said in 2 Samuel, you know, I've sinned against the Lord, and he was downcast and he was sad, and that's because he'd sinned, because the life that God had called him to and the life that God had asked him to lead, he turned away from it. He committed adultery and got someone pregnant and killed. He just went on a bad one, basically, and he just lost all of his peace. You know, one of the most mighty men the Bible's got to speak of lost his peace by falling away from God. And, you know, it's something that can happen to us as well. It's something that we need to be careful of, because I don't know if you've ever, you know, every one of us falls short and we all sin and we all do things wrong. And if you've ever done something and it's been like maybe a Saturday or a Sunday morning, and you thought, or just before you go to bed when you're getting ready to pray or something, you thought, oh, I don't even want to pray. I can't go to church and look at all these people. I can't come before God. And you just feel rubbish. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. I have loads of times, and I was quite fortunate that, like, when I was first a Christian, I had like some really good, strong Christians around me. You know, I had like Tony Grange and Pete Conroy and a few really good blokes around me who said, you know, make sure that if you're ever, you know, upset, and if you're ever sinning, if anything's ever going wrong, don't miss church. Don't miss praying. Don't miss your time with the Lord, because that's just the enemy getting in and, you know, basically trying to take your peace away so you don't feel right in front of God. And that's something that I've never not sinned, but I've always stayed with the Lord when I've been doing it. And you know what? It's been a massive, massive savior to me, because in our little group that we had, I'm not exaggerating, like, Tony's a brilliant evangelist and so is Peter. And the amount of people that we had in our group were probably pushing 100 people that I could name. They came in, were on fire for the Lord, sinned, felt bad, couldn't come to church, couldn't be around Christians, couldn't bridge it, and then they just fall back into the world and they went. And, you know, for us to have this peace, you know, we need to make sure that we're always leaning into God. All the time, always leaning into God. When things go wrong and when it hits the fan, you know, we're always going to fall. There's going to be times in our life when we're going to fall and we're going to lose our peace. But if you're like this from God, when you fall, you're going to fall straight away from him. You need to make sure that you're leaning into God, so whatever happens when you fall straight into him. When your peace is gone, when you've sinned, when you've done wrong, church, please make sure that you're spending that time with the Lord and you're digging into his word and you know him, and you don't let the enemy get into your head saying, you can't go to church, you can't pray, you can't be around these, because that's what he does. He gets in your ear and he takes away your peace, because he doesn't want us to have this relationship with the Lord where we're forgiven for everything. We're forgiven for absolutely everything that we do. And that's where our peace comes from. You know, there's nothing the enemy can do. There's no guilt trip he can play on us. You know, there's nothing that we can do, say, think that hasn't been and can't be forgiven. So please make sure that, you know, when you are going to fall, put yourself in a position where you're going to fall into the Lord. I heard an illustration before saying that, you know, God's always right here with you. You know, he's always right next to you, close enough that you can hear him whisper. God never moves. It's always us that move away from him. And, you know, I think it was actually Pete that said, you know, every time we sin, we just get this little brick and we put it above our head. And then we get another little brick and we put it above our head. We'll do something else. We get another little brick and we put it above our head. And next thing you know, we've just got this big wall above us. God's in the exact same place, but we've got that much unconfessed sin, and that sin we haven't dealt with, and we're letting it get to us, that we can't hear him, we can't reach him. We feel as though we're trapped behind that wall. And it's just a complete lie. You know, when you've done something, and when you've got something in your heart that you feel as though is pulling you away from the Lord, just confess it to him. Give it to the Lord. You know, he's already went through and done everything to make sure that we have this peace. You know, he's already, the battle's been won. You know, any sin that we're going to do, have done, or in the middle of now, it's already been taken care of. You know, the debt's been signed away. He's paid for it. It says in Hebrews 8, verse 12, it's one of my favourite verses, I absolutely love it. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. How awesome is that? How awesome is it that he won't even remember our sin? Because I do. And, you know, there's a lot of times when, like, my friends and family, you know, I'll invite them to something for church, or I'll pull them up on something. I remember when you did this. I remember when you did that. And they'll pull me about things and they'll point the finger. And, you know, I had a massive fight with my sister about a month ago. I remember when you did this, and started telling me all this stuff that I'd done that was wrong stuff. It was horrible. I shouldn't have done it. And I sat down and I was just like, why did I do that? And why did I say that? And why? And I felt completely downcast. And then after a minute, I was like, what am I doing? You know, I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. You know, if God doesn't remember our sins, if God's forgot them, who are we to remember them? Who are we to let them live over us and take away our peace? You know, who are we to let sin take the place of Jehovah Shalom? And, you know, I just, more than anything, just want to encourage you, you know, I don't think there's ever going to be a time in our life where us or people that we know, how many people do you know who have fell away from church because they fell into sin? There's just so many. You know, let's not be them people. Let's be the people that 100% lean into God no matter what's going on. When we sin, when we're falling short, when we're sad, when we're doing things wrong, make sure, church, that we're leaning into God. So when we fall straight into this. We fall straight into Hebrews 8:12 and not into 2 Samuel. You know, feeling downcast and feeling that you can't come before the Lord because you've sinned. Yeah, I'm going to pass over to Seeker now and you get to the good bit.
Morning, everybody. It's good to be here. I feel like this summer is over now, so if this is bad, then we've made your September even worse. So Ricky was just talking about, you know, knowing God and knowing what he promises. And that's what gives us peace. When I just love children. Children are just awesome, aren't they? Because they teach us so much. And it's like a punch in the face sometimes. It's like, they're just 3 years old and they're so much smarter than me. It's very humbling. Ricky was talking about how we really need to know God and how to really keep away from sin to still have that peace in us. Because that's where peace comes from, you know, when we live right by God. And he helps us, which is good. So I just want to talk about obedience, how when we obey God, we have peace. And it's nowadays, it just seems like a bit of a dirty word. Obey, what do you mean? Like, I do what I want. I don't obey to anybody. It just seems like a harsh word. You will obey. But, you know, with God, it comes from a really loving place. It's awesome because, you know, he promises it. When you read a psalm again, Psalm 119. There we go. 119. and verse 165. It says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." So it's an awesome way of saying it, isn't it? Because it's God knows what's best for us. And the same thing, like we were using our children as an example. You know, when we tell them to do something, when we tell them to obey, it comes from a good place. And they don't know it, but we know what's best for them. And it's the same with us and God. And, you know, what I love about the Bible is that actually this book is full of stories of obedience. If you think about it, every single story, the awesome men of God, it's all stories of obedience. They've obeyed and they've done what God wants them to do. Otherwise, we wouldn't have any stories in the Bible, if you think about it. Moses, Noah, even Jesus. If he didn't obey, then we wouldn't have salvation. So I'm just talking about how obedience brings us peace. I don't know if you ever had a fight with your parents or you've done something they've told you not to, specifically. How do you feel? I remember those times and I felt really, really anxious. I just was so nervous. There was no ounce of peace in me when I disobeyed my parents. And I know you can be like, oh, I'm rebellious and I don't care what the parents say. But you know, deep inside, you've got no peace because you know you've done wrong. I've had a couple of situations in my life where I had to make decisions in my adult life, actually, not even when I was a kid. And one time was when I decided to go to America. There was this company that, so they took students from different universities and sent them to America to sell books. And it was, rubbish work, really. It was door-to-door knocking and selling these educational books, which they were awesome. They were awesome books. And you had went through this program before you went to America, and then you had this training and everything. And when I look back on it, the whole training time, I really felt uneasy. I didn't have any peace. But I was like, well, it's America. I want to go to America. You know, so I went through it. My parents got me the plane tickets there. And, you know, it was all awesome and good. We went, whoopee-doo, yeah, let's do this. And it was one of the most difficult times in my life that I've experienced. I did really bad. So basically ended up in debt. It was a complete failure from work. It opened up doors to so many sins, the people I met. It opened the door to impurity, which I regret now. But you know, all the way through, God was speaking to me. He took away my peace about going there, but I still did. And you know, that shows that whole experience, when I still look back on it, I just lose my peace all over again. And now I know that God was speaking to me, but I didn't then, not clearly. But I also didn't pray about it. I didn't pray and I didn't ask God. But he was telling me. He was giving me hints. He was taking the peace away, you know. And that's sometimes a good thing. When he takes away your peace, then you know that you shouldn't be doing something. And when I did, I disobeyed him. And you know, God didn't lose out on that. You know, God didn't think, oh no, I've lost Siku into this trip. No, I lost. I lost God for that trip. And I lost peace. So when he tells you not to do something, he really takes care of you, you know. He really has the best in mind for you. But on the good side, you know, God gives you second chances. So instead of going far, God called me to England. And that was really a step of faith for me and the really step of obedience. When I decided to move to England about 7.5 years ago, I mean, Ian invited me and prayed for me when we came to visit England. And Martin, you invited me over. And, you know, God was speaking to me then. And I was really asking, is this for me? And then I decided to move over. And it was the best decision I've ever made. Because I did it with God. and had complete peace about it. Actually, there's a story of not having peace in, because when I went back home after this really brief trip to England, God took peace away from staying in Estonia. I went back to work, and first day back at work, I was crying my eyes out. I was like, I do not want to be here. And that was a push for me. So be obedient to God, because he knows. And like I said, the Bible's full of stories of obedience. Do you want to be one of these people that's, written in the Bible? Just seek for that peace when you decide what you want to do, where you want to go. Because he will tell you. He will take away your peace if it's not right. But he will give you a lot of peace when it is right. I love the story of Jonah. It's hilarious, actually, if you read it. We tell that story sometimes to Olivia. And it's a famous story, really, about someone purposefully not doing what God says. So if you don't know the story, then God sends Jonah to a place called that's water. Okay. I'm having trouble finding it now, so he sends Jonah to this town called Nineveh, and he really doesn't want to go because the message is, I'm going to wipe out the whole town. So could you please then go tell them for me? And he didn't really want to go. So he goes the opposite direction. And boy, did he not have peace about it. He was attacked from all over. But God's grace is awesome. I'm still not finding this. Okay, there we go. Because he teaches you. It's hard. He lets you go through a lot of hard things. But if you obey, he will bless you. Because I love this verse. When Jonah finally realizes that he's been going against God. Or he knows all along, really. And he says to the people who run the boat, says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. And then they throw him overboard. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And I just love this picture of the sea growing calm. And when we throw ourselves into the will of God, when we obey, when we're obedient to him, the sea will grow calm and we will have peace. So I just want to encourage you really to, if you're not feeling peace about something that you're about to do, talk to God. If it's right, he'll give you peace. If it's not right, that's just a sign you shouldn't be doing it. Or the opposite, when you really feel called to do something, just talk to God. If you have peace, he will give you peace. Yeah.
So why don't we spend a little bit of time on that? Is Lowry in? Oh, he's got a hole, he's holding a baby. Can you pass that bambino to someone and play some of that beautiful piano music? Oh, Luke, anyone that plays piano, jump over here. Why don't we spend a little bit of time going out there? If you feel as though you've lost your peace about something and you want it back, or you feel as though you've been sinning and then bricks are above your head, that you're leaning back, and if you fall, you're going to be away from God. If you're feeling called to go somewhere, if you're feeling called out of something, if you've got a problem this morning with your peace, then why not come and deal with it? Why not let us give it to God now? Give it to God, confess it, and let's get a line under it this morning. Can anything that you're worried about, any peace that you've lost, any problem that you've got, God can deal with it this morning. He's a God that can do miraculous things instantaneously if you give him the chance. Why don't you, if you've got that, just as we're playing some music and people are going to do whatever they're going to do, come forward and let's get some prayer. Have some of the leaders praying for you. Come and pray for that peace. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't know whether you're getting called somewhere, whether you're stepping out of somewhere. Let's ask for words. Let's ask God, where can I go to get this peace? Do I stay where I am? Do I step back? Do I step forward? You know, do I do this? Do I stop doing that? Ask God. You know, it says in Matthew, knock, seek. You know, he'll answer the door, you'll find him. You know, if you've got that, if you've lost that peace this morning and you want it back, let's come and have some time with the Lord. Let's come and seek him and find him. Let's come before him. If you've got the sins that are in the way, come forward and confess them to someone. Let's make sure that God remembers them sins no more. So I just want to pray for us. Lord, thank you so much that you're a God that brings peace. Thank you, Father God, that you are peace. You're Jehovah Shalom. Thank you, Father God, that there's nothing we can do, we can say, or we can think that can ever remove our peace if we just give it to you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, it's a choice. You know, you've already given us this peace. We've just got to receive it. You know, you're there with your hands out, holding that gift of peace right in front of our face. And all we have to do is reach out and get hold of it. Lord, if there's any of us here that have them sins of bricks around us and above our head, and if any of us that are leaning away from you, I just pray, Father God, now, you'll just smash them bricks away, you'll sledgehammer them away from us, and you'll just gently pull us forward, Lord, into you and not away from you. Thank you for that amazing peace that you bring, Lord. Lord, let's pray for anyone here that's lost the peace. Anyone that feels far away from you, they don't feel peace about a situation, they feel like they're in the bottom of a pit, they feel like they're in the belly of the whale. I just ask, Lord, that you'll bring that peace. Holy Spirit, come and bring that peace. Where the enemy's getting in, he's telling lies about us not being good enough for peace, not being allowed peace. Just kick him out. He's got no place in us. We're vessels of the Holy Spirit and you bring peace. Thank you, Father God, that you are the peace bringer. Bring peace in this room this morning, Lord. Take away any doubts of peace. And I pray, Father God, that when we all leave here today, we walk out that door with a smile on our face and the peace of the Lord on our back. Bless this church, Lord. Bless the people that aren't here. Bless the people, Lord, that have lost the peace and fell away. Fall on them right now, Lord, the same way you've fallen on us. And give them that peace back, Lord. Give them that peace, Lord, to come to you. Rewrite that lie the enemy's written over them. Holy Spirit, bring your peace this morning. We love you. We praise you. We bless you, Lord, and we just thank you that you're the peace bringer. So, like I say, if you want some prayer for anything that we spoke of this morning, please come forward and let us pray for you. Let's get that dealt with this morning. Let's not leave it in here today. Bless you.